that the lesson, I wrote a few notes that I want to just bring out to you. And my first note was on page 52. And it says, David took the matter to God. Whenever we're angry, we go over it and over it and over it again, don't we? And sometimes we don't know how to get rid of that stinking thinking that we got going on in our minds. But David directed his anger to God. And I like that. Because when we get angry over the smallest things, we don't know what to do with it. So we go over it and over it again. But that sort of spoke to my heart when David took it to God. It's a good lesson if you read it. But not only did he take it to God, but he left the matter there. You know, it's amazing that we can take a subject or something to God, but as soon as we take it there, we want it back. But when we learn to leave it there, it means a whole lot more. Our whole heart, our whole countenance change. Amen? And then it, in the middle of the page, it says, I am thy salvation. You got to read that page to get that thing, because it says, even though David offers suggestion to God on what he should do, he prayed and trusted him and look for his assurance. I am thy salvation. Oh, how that spoke to my heart. Knowing that God loves us and gives us that assurance that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Then read Psalms 35, and on page 56, for the minute, page 55, David had faith in God that God would rescue him. And then on page 56, I wrote, when we feel the tug of anger in our hearts, on the last paragraph, when we feel the tugging of anger in our heart, we can let it loose and deal with the consequences later. Or we can give that urge over to God and leave the matter in his hands. I hope you learned something from your Sunday school lesson, because next week it talks about worry. The first of the year, our Sunday school lessons on worry. Oh, but my worry is not there. It says, take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. You know, that there's an old famous song that goes, I trust in God. Our pastor used to sing that when he was younger. But now that he's older, he don't sing that much no more. Amen? Let's turn to our scripture reading for today. I'm going to read from Proverbs chapter 27. Since this is the 27 Proverbs a day, it'll definitely keep the devil away. Amen? Amen. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for they know not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. A stone is heavy, and the sand weighty, but a full wrath is heavier than both. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The full soul laugh at honeycomb, but to the hungry, Every bitter thing is sweet. I'm going to stop there because there's a lot of hungry folks out there, and everything they get cometh from the Lord. Amen. At this time, we're going to ask Joe Wilson to come and open us up in prayer. Amen.
Good morning, church. Good morning. How great is our God.
Yes, he is.
Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, this morning, we are so thankful for this opportunity that you have given to us to come to this place of worship to give you thanks and praise. Lord, we realize that we do not praise you enough because you desire our praise because you created us. And we are so thankful this morning that you've shined the light of life upon us to come and to glorify your name, to uplift your name, and to make Jesus the first choice of our lives. Father, we are so thankful for Jovell this morning. Lord, so many things, oh Lord, are happening to our young people. But we rejoice as well as the angels in heaven when one soul is saved. So this morning, Father, we commit her into thy care, and that there are many others, oh God, who are willing but have not yet received the invitation of Christ, have not said yes to him. We pray for them, hoping that this coming year, in this day and time that we are living, that someone would see the dangers that lies ahead and look to you for salvation, for help, and for deliverance. We thank you, O God, for our church. We pray, Lord, that you continue to bless each member. Continue to be with especially those who are in the hospitals, in the nursing homes, who are not able to be with us here today. We pray, Lord, that you would just visit them, knowing that we are in this battle together because, Lord, we are on the battlefield for the Lord. So we ask, oh God, that you would search our hearts and that as we continue to yearn the things of God, as we continue, Father, to immerse ourselves to you, Lord, we ask that we would take time out and to let others know how good and how great thou art. So now, Lord, we come to this special time in our service where your manservant, O God, who's coming to proclaim your word, we pray for him and his family. We ask that you continue to keep him, continue to bless him. And as he brings forth your word, Lord, we ask that you will communicate a message to us, not only for today, but throughout our lives, and that our lives will be changed for your glory, and that we would be able, O God, to live here with the joy that Jesus brings, and that we would be able to share it with others. This world is not our home, and that there are so many today, Lord, who believe that this is it, but it is not. For us, O God, who believe it is the beginning towards the end, because we have to live in this cruel world, but we are not alone. So we do pray, Lord, that you continue to be with us. Continue to allow us, O God, to be subject to your will and to your service so that we, O God, can go out and minister and make disciples and tell others that there is good news about Christ. So, Lord, we just pray asking that you bless us today. Speak to us that our lives may be changed for your glory. We ask this message in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground. Come on, Pekia, sing it one time.
When I think about the Lord, how he raised me, how he saved me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the
join in with us.
How he saved me.
Come on, sing.
How he raised me.
How he filled me with the Holy Ghost.
With the Holy Ghost.
How he healed me
to the uttermost. To the uttermost.
When I think about the Lord.
When I think about the Lord.
How he picked me up.
How he picked me up.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Think about the goodness of the Lord and all that He has done for me. My soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Amen. We're grateful to be in the house of the Lord once again. We do have a couple of announcements I want to share with you very briefly before we begin our worship service. Some thank yous. This is a Christmas greeting. Comes from Henry and Carmela Wood. They are sending their greetings for Christmas. We also have a thank you from Zanita Robinson to the Crossroad family. Thank you so much for everything, for your prayers, and for the support. She says, I'm healing well, so hopefully I will be able to see you soon. We also have a thank you from Betty James, and it's a perfect time to thank you for the nice things that you do. And then we have a thank you from Donna Robertson. Thank you, church family, for the love and prayers from each of you. We have a thank you that comes from Howard and Tracy Patterson Robinson. Thank you so much for the gift. Merry Christmas to everyone. And this is from Joseph Robinson and family. Wishing you lots of the holiday season, lots of joy this holiday season. Have a Merry Christmas and an incredible New Year. Thank you for all you do. And this thank you is from Sheila Austin. Thank you so much for the gift card. It is very much appreciated. And we have a thank you from, Hermina and Donna Hendricks, Reverend Coleman and Crossroad family. Merry Christmas, and thank you for the lovely card. I have another thank you card from Betty James. Merry Christmas, rather. Card from Betty James. And we have a Merry Christmas coming from K&W Painting. Wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I have a thank you from Marion Carden. Thank you for your thoughtfulness, your kindness, and your generous heart. And then from Shelby Payne, she says, thank you for the Christmas gift. It was very much appreciated. And this thank you is from Nancy Martin and family. Merry Christmas with love. And your gift was very much appreciated, Nancy Martin and family. And then this is from Delphine Mickles and Ryan. For everything you've done, for being the special people that you are. Thank you so very much. From Shirley Easley, thank you, Crossroad family, for the senior card and the gift. Just thanking you for all that you've done. And then from Diane Slade, she says, today I'm grateful because that reminder was meant just for you. Thank you for the phone calls, the cards, and the prayers, Diane Slade. And then we have a thank you from Lula Calloway. Thank you so very much. And she sends also season's greetings. And I ask that you continue to pray for the family of AJ, Crystal, and Courtney Burks. Their uncle passed away. And so that service, I believe, is going to be today. Okay, so they are asking for your prayers. Be in prayer for Eddie Tucker and his family. He lost his brother, was memorialized this past week. So be in prayer for them and ask God to continue to bless and to help them. Amen? Amen. Well, it's Christmas has come and gone. So now we're having to continue on our journey, getting ready to start a new year. We're asking God to lead us and direct us. I do want to bring you one other message that has to relate to this season. It's found in Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 15.
Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. And it reads, "And when they, the wise men, were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I have called my son." Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. I just want to speak on a few minutes of the subject, divine directions. Divine directions. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your love and grace. We thank you for the season of the year. We ask that you would continue to bless us as we go through our transition of living out this year and then moving into the next year with anticipation and great joy. There are a lot of people that are confused and don't know what tomorrow will bring. But it's not necessary for us to know the future. It's necessary for us to know God. It's necessary for us to know that you're our way maker, you're our provider, and more importantly, you're the one that loves us. So we thank you for your word. We ask that you'd bless us now and bless our time together, that it indeed might be time well spent. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, as I read this passage, I began to think about the direction that Joseph would take now that Christ was born. How would he raise this child? How would things work out, and what would be the plan going forward? And we find out that he received insight, that he received direction from God so that he didn't have to assume. All he had to do was listen and follow the will and the word of God. Now, it is interesting that when the wise men departed, going back to their homeland, these wise men did not return to Herod as the request was. These wise men instead went home another way and avoided Herod because they could see that he meant the child harm. The Bible even says that. And that's where I want to present my first challenge in this verse. My first challenge is this. If this was God's son, the holy child Jesus, and we all agree that this is God's son, this is the holy child Jesus. Why didn't God do more to protect him? Now, I know that there were angels that we had heard, and the shepherds saw them. The angels came, and they were on the hillside, and they were just worshiping because Christ was born. Now, all of a sudden, at the threat of Herod, where are the angels? Where did they go? Now, they were still there, but that was not God's plan in the provision for Jesus at this point. And I'll get to the application of that in just a minute. But as we look at this verse, and as we notice, Herod was a very ruthless ruler. He didn't like any type of threats to his authority or to his kingship. And so, therefore, he was seeking to destroy Christ. He wanted to put him to death because there was one king, and that king, in his eyes, was Herod. The historian Josephus tells us some of the atrocities that Herod committed in his own lifetime. He even slew some of his own family. His wife, a couple of his sons, people in his family that he didn't like. Herod was a ruthless leader. Dr. Paul Mayer of Western Michigan University said that even though the number of children that were slain as a result of Herod's rage may not have been many because of the small town of Bethlehem, still it was significant. It was significant because of the fact that it was the fulfillment of Jeremiah 31 and verse 15 that says, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. Herod had caused such rage and such things in his lifetime, and even in his death, he knew that some of the Jews did not like him. So in order to get the Jews to be in mourning at the time of his death, he arranged for the slaughter of many family members of the Jewish leaders just so that they could be in mourning when he died. What an incredible leader. So why didn't God just say, well, you know what? I'm going to take care of him. I'm going to kill Herod. That was not God's plan. I'm going to change his mind. That was not God's plan. The plan was, Joseph, listen. Herod is going to try to destroy the Christ child, and what I want you to do is take him to Egypt. That was the plan. Now, a lot of us, when we have something that is great and pressing in our life, we want God to send all of the mighty angels. We want God to come down with miraculous power. And we want God to intervene in supernatural ways, and sometimes he doesn't do that. Instead, sometimes God just leaves things the way they are. And so you ask yourself, what in the world am I going to do now that I'm facing this? How am I going to deal with this without God sending a miracle? Ladies and gentlemen, God doesn't always send a miracle, but he always sends directions. He will always give you a plan. He will always give you an opportunity to respond to what he has said. And I want you to know that if he doesn't remove all the evil in the world, God can still take care of you. God can still provide for you. So what is it about these divine directions that's so important for us? I want you to notice that Joseph, there's not a lot written about him in the Bible, but what is written was a man who obeyed. A man who followed God's instructions, who followed God's plan and provided for the Christ child during such a critical time. There are three things I want to bring out in this message as we look at it. Number one, if baby Jesus faced threats, all of the followers of Jesus can expect the same thing. If he faced hardship, if he faced crisis, then you and I can expect the same thing. Second thing I want to bring out in this message is that God does not always remove the evil from our lives, but he sometimes moves us. He sometimes moves us. And then thirdly, I want to just share with you how important it is that God's people be obedient to God's directions. To know his directions, to be familiar with them, and not follow them does not accomplish a thing. You've got to be able to follow faithfully and to know that God is leading you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, before we get into the passage and talk about Jesus, I want to just bring you back through a couple of scriptures and maybe some Old Testament references to remind you that life is not always easy. David in the Bible, that we find he was anointed about the age of 17, anointed to be king, and you would think that if this was God's man, everything was going to work out, everything would be smooth, but instead we find that David spent a large portion of his life, 10 or 12 years, running from Saul. Why didn't God just destroy Saul? He could have done that. But instead, God gave David direction. And I believe that had he not gone through that experience, had he not gone through some of those struggles and trials, he would have never been able to write about it and to share with you, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He would not have had that deep relationship with God because he had to depend on God. Could it be that we grow more when we go through those struggles? Could it be that we pray more and we pray more focused when our mind is not about life being easy, but having to depend on God? During this year, you and I have had to depend on God. We didn't know what tomorrow would bring, but here we are at the end of this year, celebrating the goodness of the Lord, because God kept us through every storm, through every trial, through every situation. God has kept us. We didn't have everything we wanted, but God gave us everything that we needed. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful. He didn't owe me a thing. He didn't have to do anything. And yet he has blessed us, and we can rejoice. You know, I said to myself, I said, now one angel could have taken care of Herod, because one angel could do some mighty destruction. We find that also written in the Bible, that one angel, God sent him out on one night and he killed 185 soldiers. So one angel would have been necessary to take care of Herod. And yet God said, no, I'm not gonna worry about him. Don't you get kind of frustrated sometimes when you see wicked going on? And you say, well, Lord, what are you going to do about this? And the Lord answers you back, nothing. I remember one time I was praying, and I said, Lord, you know, what are you going to do about all this evil in our world and people destroying and killing one another? And the Lord said, where are they going? They can't escape. He may not deal with them now, but he will deal with them in eternity. And it's our job to stand up for Christ. It's our job to live for the glory and honor of God. I know you consider yourself as a child of God, and you say to yourself, you know what, I'm going to be faithful, and I know God's going to make a way out of no way. God's going to provide miracle after miracle, and every day I wake up, the flower's going to be blooming, and life's going to be good. Then you wake up, and life is not that good. You struggle. But you never have to struggle without God being with you. He says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. If baby Jesus, here it is, he hadn't done anything yet. Baby Jesus is now receiving death threats. Herod wants to kill him. And God's plan is, just take him down to Egypt. Isn't that something? Sometimes he says things in our life, and Lord, what are you going to do about this problem I got? And God says, oh, just go here and do such and such. And it seems so simple. I remember when I first started off in my Christian journey, I wanted to see miracle after miracle, and I wanted to see all these signs and wonders, and guess what? Never saw them. Some of them I saw because God works in miraculous ways, but then I saw that God performs miracles through the natural things. When I started looking at the fact that every day you get up, that's a blessing. That's a miracle. And every time you can draw a breath into your lungs, that's a miracle. That's a blessing. And I believe that if we appreciated more of the things that God does every day, we would live a life that is abundant and a life that's overflowing with joy. As we look at this passage, we see that Joseph obeyed. He took the young child and he headed down into Egypt by night. He did not delay in responding to the word of God. The Bible tells us that he took the child and headed into Egypt and was there until the Lord sent him word to come out of Egypt. Now, here's the thing that I have to look at and have to bring out. Why Egypt? Why not Syria? Why not some other country? Why did he send him down into Egypt? Well, it was the fulfillment of a prophecy. It was the fulfillment of the word of God that says, out of Egypt I will call my son. Now, I want you to understand that Egypt is no place for a child of God. It's no place for you to grow because it represents sin. It represents bondage. But in Christ coming to redeem us from our sin, he had to go there. His mission was to redeem us and save us from our sins. So when God says, out of Egypt, I've called my son, we as the body of Christ have to realize that we too have been called out of Egypt. Don't go back to those old things that once bound you, those old things that once held you back. You're the body of Christ, and that bondage should no longer be there. I challenge you in the coming year to be faithful to God and to recognize that don't just do things out of convenience. Yeah, Egypt had to be in the life of Jesus, but he didn't make it a practice. And there are things that in your life you will have to do from time to time, but don't make, amen, the compromise of saying, you know what, I'll just go to Egypt. I'll just do this, or I'll just give up, or I won't do this. You've got to be faithful. You've got to be faithful. Because out of Egypt, God called his son. And if his son came out of Egypt, and we're the body of Christ now, we're the body of Christ, we're new creatures, we should not be serving in that old way of life. Are y'all still with me? It says, take the young child and flee into Egypt and be there until I call him. The next thing that we look at is that God doesn't always remove the evil, but he moves us. He moves us. Do you not know that when you pray and when you are actually praying about the problems of life, you're getting stronger? Now, your strength is not in you, but it's in God who's leading you in prayer, developing you and giving you faith to trust him more and serve him better. God is the one who's telling you, listen, I'm going to work in your life, and I'm not going to remove all these problems. I'm not going to remove all of these things that you're facing. I will use those things to make you stronger. I want to just share with you that a lot of us have grown stronger through COVID. You prayed more. You've sought God more. You've loved others and tried to be of help more because we were all going through this process of change and needing God to be our light and our salvation. So what do we need to do? How do we respond when it comes to serving God? We respond in obedience. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel that obedience is better than sacrifice. A lot of people say, well, I'll give this and I'll do that. That's wonderful and that's well and good. But if you don't obey the voice of God, you still have not served him. You still have not honored him. Joseph did exactly what God had instructed him to do. And I want to share with you that the survival of God's people depends on one thing and one thing only. And that is your obedience to God. If you listen to God, he will lead you. If you listen to him, he will show you the way. He is a faithful and loving God. He cannot fail, and he does not lie. God is a good God. Amen? God is an awesome God, and all we've got to do is continue to follow him. So put yourself in Joseph's shoes. How would you handle that? How would you handle the fact now, here I am, this child that God says is his son, and I've got to trust God. Now, I want to tell you something. He saw some things that he had never realized would happen in his life, and that basically confirmed his faith. Number one, before he went to Egypt, he was given gifts and gold and frankincense and myrrh to where they would take care of some of their needs. So God didn't send them any place empty-handed. But then he also saw the miraculous signs surrounding Jesus' birth. You got to open your eyes and believe that this is God working in your life. This is God showing you his plan and his way. Ours is simply to obey. He laid down that night and he had a dream. And the dream was an angel coming to him and telling him, Joseph, here's what you need to do. Your sign, your direction from God may not come in the form of a dream. It may be something that God talks to you plainly, or maybe he lays something on your heart and tells you this is right. I'm going to tell you, the more sure word of prophecy is this book right here. Many times I've had problems and I turned and just about the right place, God would send me to a passage and it would speak to me and let me know that God still had a plan, he still had a purpose, and he was still guiding by his spirit. And I'm going to tell you something. He's never failed us yet. He's never failed us yet. Obedience. Obedience. Think about the number of people in the Bible that have obeyed. Daniel, having to go through several kingdoms and yet remaining faithful to God because he knew that God was one whose promises would not fail. If you look at through the lifetime of Jesus, Jesus had to go through struggles and all of these situations, but he said, I always do my Father's will. I want to challenge you and me to be faithful to God and to know that the Lord is the one who leads us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He will keep us. He will provide for us. As we go through our struggles and as we look at life and we want to be safe, we want to make sure that everything is going to work out. But even if it doesn't work out according to our plan, as long as God is in control, we know that he'll lead us in the path of truth. As we close this Sunday, our last worship Sunday of the year, and as we look at the future of not knowing what 2021 will be, maybe the Lord will come back next year. We don't know. It's very possible. Things are happening very fast, and time is just moving very swiftly as we go through these things. But I'm not going to try to predict when the Lord is going to come. I am going to say, if we're obedient, we'll be prepared whenever that time comes. We'll be able to join with him and to have fellowship with him. Can you imagine that as the Holy Family came out of Egypt, Joseph returning now into the land of promise, being obedient to God, knowing that he had served God and done what he could. What a joy and what a peace that filled his mind. I'm telling you that as we obey God and as we serve him every day of our life, we know that his promises will never fail. Follow the directions. Follow the directions. The wise men followed them. Joseph followed them. Mary followed them. Now it's up to you to follow God's directions. Let him lead you. Let him direct you. Don't think that you've got your own understanding. Well, I got my own plans. Your plans have failed before and they'll fail again. But God's plans never fail. He always keeps his word. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Father, I want to thank you again for your mercy and love today. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for just loving us and blessing us to be here, to be in this service. And Father, there are many people that are hurting right now. Many people that are going through struggles and pain. We don't know why, but what we can do is we can pray and we can seek you. We can ask you for direction and protection for them. We pray for Mrs. Anderson, Lord, in the hospital. We pray for Mrs. Walthall, Father. We pray for Ms. Patterson, Lord, others that are going through struggles right now. We ask that you would keep them and that you would bless them. Bless the members of our church. Bless those that are outside in the parking lot. Bless every father, those that are listening online and people that are joining in right now. I pray that they would recognize that you have been given instructions. You've been given directions from God Almighty. Take those directions to heart. Don't go your own way. Don't spend another year wanting to do things your way on your time, because your life is being held in the hand of God. Listen to him. Look to him and let him lead you, and the Lord will be your keeper. Bless now, Heavenly Father, I pray this message. May it have meaning and purpose in the lives of your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Before you go today, we're going to get ready to serve our communion. You should have been served that as we gathered in. We're going to prepare our hearts for, if you do not have the communion, let someone know and we will be able to get that to you.
Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me.
Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm
The Bible says on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had blessed it, he gave to his disciples. And afterward, he took the cup and said to them to drink all of it. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the sacrifice that you've made for us. Pray that you would bless this sacrament that we take, change it from its natural use to a spiritual, that we might be blessed and enriched by what you've done and the commitment you have toward us, yes, great love that you've shown us. I pray you'd bless it now as we receive it with faith and thanksgiving. Thank in Jesus' name, amen. Let us take the bread and let us eat together. And now let us take the cup and let us drink together. Amen. And the Bible said that after they had eaten and drank of the Lord's Supper, that they went out into the Mount of Olives singing a hymn. So again, we're grateful for everyone coming out today and sharing with us. I do want to announce that this is a thank you from Doris Austin. Thanks for the gift the church gave me and my family. Pray for the Carlton and Grace Clark and the Woodruff family. And thanks, Doris Austin. Amen. I'm going to ask Reverend Kraft if he'd come and close us out in prayer as we prepare to give our gifts to the Lord. Amen. I forgot to give Jovell the right hand of fellowship. She's been baptized, and so we want her to come down now. And in the church, we have this thing called the right hand of fellowship, which means that we can't shake hands, but we can shake elbows, and amen. But to recognize that you're a part of the church family, that you, just like one of us as a believer, as a disciple in Christ, and that we trust God and we serve Him together. So I want to welcome you into our church family. May God bless you. And we do have a Bible that we're going to present. I'm going to ask Reverend Gibbons to present that to her while I sign this. Give me a pen and paper.
Yeah. As you grow in Christ, may the Word of God dwell in your heart. This is the book that will take you everywhere you want to go. I tell you, you can know.
All right. And Jovell, I want to present you with your baptismal certificate. This certifies that you were baptized here at the Crossroad Baptist Church on today, December the 27th, and it gives the meaning of baptism, but more importantly, what's in your heart and what God has done for you. That's the most important thing, knowing that you're His child. So I want to present that to you at this time. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.
Shall we pray? Our Father and our great God, the Creator of all mankind. Father, we pause at this time to say thank you. Thanking you, Lord, for another day's journey. Thanking you, Father, for being able to see another Christmas. And thanking you, Father, to be able to stand in this place to worship you on this last Sunday of the year. It's been a trying year. But in spite of all, God, you are still in control. A lot of lives that have been called home, but yet, God, you are still working. Father, we thank you, Father, for just being the great God that you are. And we realize, oh Lord, if we keep our hands in your hands, everything will be all right. You promise, oh Lord, that you will never leave us nor would you forsake us. We thank you for that.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you for the great word today, the great music, and the great worship. Father, as we get ready to close this service, we ask you, Father, to bless us in our travel.
Yes.
Bless every family that represents here. Bless the pastor and his family, Lord. Bless every family, Father. Bless this church as it's set here day after day, Father. Keep hurt, harm, and danger from its path. Lord, we ask you to bless the offering that we're about to receive. And Father, we pray that you dismiss us from this place, but not from our holy presence. And we cannot close, Father, without thanking you for the soul that came to Christ and was baptized today. Let us be a guidance to her. Not only her, Father, let us be a guidance to each other. Are we perfect? No. Will we do everything right? No. But there is something called repentance. And we can come to you, Father, and ask you to forgive us of our sin. We're grateful for that. Again, Father, dismiss us from this place, but not from that holy presence. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.